Still blowing a siren. Hang on. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Wednesday, August the 5th, 2020, and I have Professor Paul on with me, and we're going to be having a discussion on quite a few things today, and I'm going to bring up one of the subjects is Israel and what's called the Silk Road, but Paul wants to talk about the economy and economics and what the hell is really going on in the world. And with that said, welcome, Paul. Thanks for coming on with me.
Well, thanks for having me, Stu. The One Belt Initiative, that is a very interesting topic, and the new Silk Road, of course, going from Israel and then branching into Europe and then all the way to China. And what we're seeing is globalization on steroids, and the plan, of course, is a one-world government, a one-world economy, and then a one-world religious system. And if one goes up to about 40,000 feet, you can see all of the parts being connected. And, of course, with Israel, you have a very curious and still, in my mind's eye, inexplicable explosion in Lebanon yesterday. And the first information I get is that the explosion was a natural explosion, and it was carelessness. But if you look at the video, there is no way that one could conclude it's anything other than an intentional detonation. And you just got nothing but a confusion. And some of us were trying to put pieces together, and we've got so many fire drills, so many events happening concurrently that it's kind of tough making sense of them unless one starts with a point of view, and that's the economy.
Now, you mentioned, if I may, you mentioned about the Gaza, the area there. Now, I understand that in the Gaza Center, underground, there's a huge base that the Israelis control of all kinds of communications and high-tech stuff that's going on over there. But I just wanted to throw that in because that's something I've been picking up on. But go ahead.
Well, regarding the economy, we know that with globalization, all supply chains are interconnected. And it appears to me that more and more the interconnections are breaking down. They're falling apart either deliberately or as a byproduct of the plans for globalization. And I'm going to argue here that the remedy, the World Economic Forum, their remedy, of course, is a one-world currency. And my argument is that the American economy has already been collapsed. In fact, really, you can go back to 1913 or 1933 when bankruptcy was declared, or 1947. But right now, the deep state is running America, and it's really running the world. And most people have not figured out that America is being taken down, and the economy has already collapsed. And we've got diversions from COVID to investigations again on the Trump collusion, Michael Flynn. We just got so many distractions, but I think they all lead to something that we are personally dealing with, and the audience, mainly American, of course, and that is destabilization and demoralization. And that, in turn, is heading towards what I call uncivil war. And you've got Portland going. You've got all sorts of fire drills that just keep popping up, and they seem to all be planned. And with that, I defer back to you and back to Israel and the One Belt Initiative, because it certainly appears that they're trying to set things up in Israel for war while concurrently taking down America. So I think we got two themes. We got the takedown of America, and that is really an economic endeavor first and foremost, because that's where people are going to feel it directly, and that in Israel, trying to get all the pieces together for that war to go hot.
Now, Paul, you believe in Christ?
Yes.
So do I. Now, we got end-time prophecies, we call it. I've watched this for years. I've been at this for 37 years this year. It's bizarre, folks, the crap that I've learned in 37 years, half of my lifetime, more than half. I'm 66 now, and half of my lifetime. And I've watched this, and I've watched it develop because of exposing my ex-witch doctor's father after they took my kid illegally. Now, I've watched this. I've dug on it. I never thought in my wildest imagination that her father would be possessed by a fallen angel. But I found that out through spooks and everything else. And I've come to realize, as being a political prisoner for exposing the scandals of savings and loan, HUD, Keating 5, and the Denver airport all back-to-back, and got locked up for 10.5 months with all these Iran-Contra players. There were 5,000 of them arrested. Now, I was locked up with nearly 2,000 of them and 500 federal agents trying to bust them. And I learned a hell of a lot from all these people. And I had no idea that we were being controlled. The U.S. government was being controlled by 200,000 aliens possessing human beings, and that they had cloned over 10 million people in Hope, Arkansas, because of an agreement the United States government did with the aliens, which was the 1952 to 2012 agreement, that they could have bases, they could snatch humans, they could do the whole bit because they need their blood, the whole nine yards. I couldn't even believe all this stuff. I couldn't wrap my head around it. It took me a few years to really wrap around it, and that they do human sacrifices and all this other stuff. Now, I put up a video and a former prosecutor sent me, who is very concerned, former prosecutor, Colorado, who actually tried to bust them, saw too much stuff going on in Colorado, where they were based out of, Leonard Millman, the old Meyer Lansky Jewish crime syndicate, that is now Larry Mizell bank bailout scamster, etc. But she sent me a video of Laura Eisenhower, the great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower, and she spoke out. It's up on my site right now. It's my last posting I did, and it says she's talking about a message to the New World Order. She's sending them a message. She's saying everything. She's sitting there talking about her grandfather being connected and making a deal and a pact with the aliens, the fallen angels, folks. There's 200,000, there's three, according to Genesis, a third fell. Now, there was approximately 1 million angels that had the big battle. A third fell, that'd be 333,000. But they've only got 200,000 of them registered with the NSA, National Security Agency. I wanted to bring that up. But she sent a message, and she came out and said her grandfather knew about it and made a pact in the whole bed. But go ahead. We have this problem, Paul. Now, you believe in end-time prophecies, and so do I, as far as the Bible's concerned. I know dispensationalism has gotten in the way, and all kinds of stuff, the Schofield Bible, and all the other crap that they've done. They've changed the Bible to some degree. But I think we could start with Revelation 12, and we're sitting there right now with the mark of the beast coming, with this so-called COVID vaccination that Bill Gates and Fauci and all the others want to put in everybody that has a chip in it. And DNA changer. Change your DNA where you'll be a robot and serve your masters, who will be these fallen angel-possessed human beings. Am I too far off on this?
I think you're on fire. And what you have said is massive. And it's corroborated by other sources. I just encountered some information recently from a pastor named Doug Riggs. And I'm so glad that you brought up dispensationalism and replacement theology, because I think that I speak for you and me and Joel in that we do not accept the Jesuits' infiltrated replacement theology that there's one covenant for Israel and one covenant for the church, or dispensationalism, which of course is an offshoot of two different covenants, and that Israel exists differently from spiritual Israel or from believers in Jesus. And I just wanted to clarify that, because the pastor that I listened to, he corroborates your experience and what information that you got. He says in 1976 in Bavaria, there is a castle, and the castle is the model for Disney, Disney World, that is, in Orlando. And he says that in 1976, there was a ritual, and of course, all rituals, they dirty the air, human sacrifice, and that blood, of course, then gives power to the dark side. During that ritual, complete control of the earth was ceded to the archons, or to the dark side, or the B'nai Elohim, or the Genesis 6-4 phenomena, where the mingling of the seeds, and control was ceded in 1976, and I'm going to make an argument that we're so far along with technology, and you talked about Hope, Arkansas, and the hybrids, and the COVID, and now where we're at is we're getting pretty close to the mark of the beast, where no man can buy or sell unless they're either vaccinated, and we are really in an accelerated time where I'm understanding that with the economy being collapsed, then you can force people to be dependent on whatever our supposed leaders decide, and we're not really able to do much other than respond to survive. We can certainly draw lines in the sand and say we're not going to take the vaccine, we're not going to, we are not going to serve the Archon. And I do think we are, to Revelation 12. I think we're probably getting close to either the beginning of the tribulation or somewhere in the tribulation now. And I just think being human and without God's wisdom, we can't say with exactness, but things are pretty far along. And America has been totally infiltrated. We've got this political theater where supposedly the left and the right are against each other, but in fact, what they're really doing is distracting us from the bigger agenda, which is to make us all subservient to the beast.
So do you think that we're going to see in our day, now we're in August, do you think we're going to see it within this year?
I couldn't hear you exactly.
Do you believe that we're so close to the mark of the beast that we could possibly see it this year?
Yes, I do. But here's where I'm going to try and split a hair, and I need your analysis. I've studied Bible prophecy fairly thoroughly. In other words, I'm gonna bring up Jeremiah 51, 7 through 18. And what I think is going on in America, and we haven't maybe talked about it in depth, but we know that our government is thoroughly infiltrated. So you have maybe 50,000 Chinese spies, you've got the Russians here, and you've got people in our government that are certainly guilty of sedition and treason. And it's really kind of tough to know where Donald Trump and some of these other people are. But I think it's very possible that we could see by November civil war, and that may indicate to me that we're not going to be vaccinated and chipped before that civil war. And so we got two possibilities, I guess. I'm proposing that there could be civil war first, and that triggers a foreign invasion or Red Dawn. And then you go back into Jeremiah 25, and literally you and I were eliminated, or they're going to try and take us off to a FEMA prison and eliminate us there. And, you know, right now, Stu, I am just not quite sure how things play out. I think there are two lines of thinking. One is that we're being told, hey, you got to get vaccinated and chipped. And if you get vaccinated and chipped, then we're going to give you universal basic income. That could happen first. Or I personally think that we're looking at civil war because of the November elections, which are designed to not have a result and to create further chaos.
I'm in agreement with you there. I mean, we're being set up for it with this voting fraud, mail-in ballots, all this other, and the post office, or six states, I found out, they want to send them out 10 days before the election, and a post office saying it takes that long for us to deliver to the individual and them to put it back in the box. We need another 10 or 15 days to get it to the voting booth in time. Now, this is going to throw the votes off for sure, and we've got Daddy Bush, which I still believe he's alive in Paraguay, down there in his hole, which is in a mountain range that they took a boring machine, Air Force boring machine, down there years ago and cut a big hole for him. And I believe he's still in existence there. I don't believe he's dead. And he was fallen angel possessed, I guarantee you. And the guy's still running, in my opinion, the show. Now, I know that he's bent, they are bent, on New World Order. And they are bent and they want to collapse the United States of America and make us the first slaves to their New World Order. But Daddy Bush controls Raytheon Corp, folks. E-Systems, Dallas, Super Spook World. They call it Division 4 of the FBI, the hit squads, being operated out of there illegally. They also have the West Star satellite, which changes the voting machines. I don't care whether you got a paper ballot like we have in Missouri and you punch it, you still go put the paper, they pull the tag off that you punch the holes in, you put it in the machine yourself, and you after it comes out, they tell you to put it in the voting box. They can change that machine during the day, during voting time. And that's what they've been doing for years. I know that. I have evidence on it. Now, is there going to be an illegal election? No. Is Donald Trump our man? I'm beginning to ask myself, do we all get fooled? What has he done? His whole presidency has been destroyed. First, it's a dossier created by Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, passed by John McCain over to the FBI, Strzok and that gang, McCabe, and they try to throw the election. Then we've got impeachment based on a false dossier. We got people like General Flynn, a good guy, who gets arrested to shut him down because of his position inside the White House. A super spook friend of mine and his got murdered, who told me 2 months before his murder, Otis Johnson, that if Mueller doesn't do his job and prosecute Hillary, he'll find himself in jail. Less than 2 weeks later, after Otis's death, General Flynn was illegally arrested, and so were others. Whether Roger Stone was innocent or not, I don't know, but I know Flynn was. Now, I see a total destruction, and I also see problems inside the Trump family. Jared Kushner, this guy is a Israel first over America, Israel first over America. and his daughter Ivanka, nice girl, all the other stuff, not knocking her in any way, shape, or form. Oh, I was a Christian and converted. No, she wasn't. She was a Jew. Her mother was a Jew. She never came to Christianity, never found out what Christ was about. But Jared Kushner has done several things for Israel being inside the White House without getting into all the details. Everybody can look back and see the track record of this cat and gator. We've got problems. We're being, in my opinion, we're being shoved down the toilet. And nobody can see it. We're being fooled. Am I right or am I wrong? I don't know.
You bring up a very interesting perspective, and that is, can we make sense of any of this? I agree with you that Jared Kushner is not loyal to America, but no globalist is. The globalists only think of globalism, and I believe that Zionism and Israel are a Jesuit project or a deep state project. In other words, how does this all fit together? And you've got global deep state and Russia and China and the USSA now are all infiltrated. And when you start talking about General Flynn and Roger Stone and all the criminals from the Department of Justice and the FBI, all of these people are interconnected over the span of their service. They're engaging with Russia. They're engaging with China. You know, just take Diane Feinstein. I'm looking at her earlier today, and she's actually asking questions of Sally Yate, and Diane Feinstein has been working for China or with China on globalism and their agenda to take down America for the last 30 years. And so you've got Kushner pursuing this this so-called dividing of Israel, and because we both are followers of Jesus, we've done our homework, and we know that one thing about Israel is God said you don't divide that land. And what we've had with the Oslo Accords in 1993 was this Holt treaty ceremony, and you've set it up now to further the Oslo Accords with Donald Trump and Jared Kushner's plan to partition Israel, and yet that seems to be unraveling. But that's got to be somewhat connected for the reason for war in Israel. So we're back to Israel again. And I'm just going to use three scriptures. For the non-believer, please check it out. For the believers, you can also check it out as well. But we've got three different prophecies. We've got Isaiah 17, and that particularly is specific to Damascus and Israel, or greater Israel, the little flock. And then you got Daniel 8 and Ezekiel 38. So you got three prophecies that appear to be connected. And those prophecies are about war in greater Israel. And if one interprets them like I do, you get somewhere between half and two-thirds of Israel is destroyed, and that's a massive loss of life. And then you also have to expect then that there's great loss of life throughout the Middle East once the weapons start flying. And I don't think we're all that far from this event. And that's why you got all of this takedown of America. They have plans in place to make sure things happen simultaneously. And I think we're getting real close. Daniel 8, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, and that would mean that we're not even maybe 7 or 8 years from Jesus' return.
Now, I'm kind of in agreement with you because I've read the Bible, and Ezekiel is one thing over the years when I would read the Bible, and when I do, and I haven't for a while, I pray and ask God to show me the truth. Because there's some things, Lord, I don't understand, it says. Because the Bible, in my opinion, has been changed some things. But Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 is something that has stuck in my gut for years and in my brain about the war in Israel coming, folks. And it's their attack from, you know, it speaks of Russia and to the north. I'd have to pull the Bible out real quick and get into
Gog
it.
But and Magog.
Gog and Magog, and we're going to have a big problem. Now, let's talk about Israel for a minute. Israel was created as a fake regime state. Israel was already in existence, should we say. There was a video out there that I had on my website for a while that was a professor from a university in Jerusalem and here in America. And he did DNA study on the Palestinians and the Israelis. And this was a 5-year study to find out their DNA. And he found out that the ones in Palestine, the Palestinians, have the true Hebrew bloodline. 95% of them, or 92% of them. 8% did not. And he tested the Israelis and found out that the Israelis did not even have the original Hebrew bloodline in them. 8 out of 10 of them in Israel, or I'm sorry, 92% of them in Israel were from Europe. They did not have the bloodline, the DNA that the Palestinians had, which was the Hebrew bloodline. Now, Israel, these were the ones that Israel was trying to kill. I say Israel. This was General Rafael Atan, Michael Hariri, and all these cats and gators that were the head of Israeli intelligence. There were super spooks over there doing all the killings in America and all over the world. They were the ones that were feeding the Nazis the true Hebrews during World War II. Even George Herbert Walker Bush's father, Prescott Bush, was providing money through Brown Brother and Harriman to the Nazis, Adolf Hitler, to buy tanks and trucks with. And all that, he was charged with trading with the enemy, act, fined $2,500, never went to jail or hung for his treason and sedition. And he signed an agreement that his sons and grandchildren and everybody, nobody could ever serve public office. But yet, George Herbert Walker Bush, George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, all of them served public office in some way, shape, and form. Violation of the agreement. But here was the point. They took over and claimed that land to be theirs. These Europeans, Khazarian Jews, they call themselves, Khazars, from the Ukraine mainly, was the area they came from. Now, they invade and kill 40,000 true Hebrews, Palestinians, and drove them out of Israel after murdering 40,000, putting them in mass graves while the world sat around and watched it happen. This was in 1947. They declared themselves to be a state. 1 year later, in 48, the United Nations declared them to be a state, recognized them. But where did the Palestinians go? They're the Gaza. Now what are they doing? They're trying to execute those that are the true Hebrews, the Palestinians. I mean, we got a cluster over there, and a big cluster. Now, Paul, am I right or wrong about this portion of what has happened with Israel?
Do I think you have presented the findings of very compelling research, and I happen to agree with your understanding that Zionism in Greater Israel is a manufactured or fabricated endeavor. And you've got the state of Israel is run, in my opinion, by what one might call in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 as the synagogue of Satan. And you have blue-eyed, blonde-haired people running the show over there. And my understanding, or my best research indicates that Jesus was likely olive-skinned and dark-haired and brown-eyed, and now the people running Israel are not from the tribe of Shem, but rather from Japheth. And I think many in the listening audience are probably from the line of Japheth, which would be European or the audience more likely after the flood migrated northward. And it's really very confusing to try and get some understanding, except that Israel seems to be bent on war and creating a third temple, and that third temple then is going to be where the Antichrist takes and then the world is going to be run, the New World Order is going to be run from Jerusalem. And so I know that I'm on the fly here, but I think you're spot on, and all of this is being manufactured for a deliberate result, and that is about 90% of the world's population is going to be eliminated in the next year or two to the next 7 years. Now, there is some thinking that Israel is in its 70th year of existence, and it's interesting how counting is accomplished by people who study Israel, and essentially by about 1950, all of the global institutions were created. And so what you have in Israel is, this is now their 70th year. And during the 70th year, prophecy says that all of this is going to come to a head or start to unravel or culminate. And so I am thinking Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 17, and Daniel 8 all apply because it's the 70th year. And we are looking at war, if not this fall, and I think it's going to be this fall. I don't know how we are at the precipice. I don't know how you walk back from the precipice at this point. And what it means to me and you and the listeners is that they are very far along in their plan. And, of course, God is in control, and we've got to put our faith in God and our faith in Jesus, and we've all got to have our testimony, and we all need to be in our prayer closet, and we need to be pure in front of God, and we need to serve the King of Kings and the Most High. And yet we also, we're still living in this world, and our hopes can't be in this world, because we were long ago told that our faith and hope shouldn't be in man or in this world, but in our relationship with Jesus. And what I'm trying to put together for people is, perspective is, now is not a time for hope in this world, but rather courage to seek God and seek His wisdom and direction, and where do we go from here? And I think we all should be prepared, at least three months worth of food and water, and we need networks amongst each other so that we can respond most favorably or efficiently to the days ahead. Now, there's a lot of prophecy or vision from current people that they're hearing from the Lord, and some of that information is available on YouTube, some of it's taken down, but I think, Stu, we are really looking at war in the Middle East and the continuing takedown of America, which tells me civil war, uncivil war, and foreign invasion that will follow. And that brings, of course, Russian and Chinese troops. And Jeremiah 25 says, hey, some of us that survive some of this, we're going to be sold on the slave trade to other countries. I mean, it's Bible prophecy is very specific that the fate of America, at least initially, is not a favorable arc.
Well, within a generation after Israel becomes a nation, roughly, 70 years now we're at, as
yes.
you mentioned.
Yes.
The Bible's pretty specific that end time prophecies would be here, that Christ's return. Now,
yes.
okay, I believe in this. I believe in Christ. I believe in God. And I believe in the power of Christ. And I believe we can pray and send warring angels against the enemy who will destroy them. God says, pray for their salvation. He says, some are unsalvageable, so don't pray for their salvation. But to pray for their salvation. I've prayed for people's salvation, and God will drive them to their hands and knees or destroy them. And I can't say much more. I can say this, and I don't brag about it, but I prayed while I was locked up in jail because they were doing me up, and they threw some judge on me. That night, this judge's son died. A Clorox box poured down his, a bottle poured down his throat, drug dealer. The judge was put in mourning. My case was put over to the judge who dismissed the charges against me later, Judge Richard Mates, good honest guy. Screams at the prosecutor for wasting $750,000 of the taxpayers' money and told me I should seek an attorney to get remedy of what they had done to me. Well, no attorney wanted to represent me for being held as a political prisoner. Then there was another incident involving this Ted Gunderson spoofer for the FBI, Division 5, and his buddy who tried to assault me, and I defended myself and later ended up with charges against me. He went around, oh, Stu robbed me, took a bunch of boxes from my place. No, that never happened. He asked me to watch his place, and this guy was in his place while he was gone. And I told him to get out, and he got out. I locked the door, and I was charged with assault later. Now, they did that to hang it over my head. The prosecutor, this is what's wild. I started praying and said, God, you know I'm innocent. I don't want to even go to trial on this assault charge. You know I'm innocent. I want it dropped. Wow, a week before the charges are supposedly going to be heard by the judge finally, I get a call from the public defender in Las Vegas. Lori Deffenbaugh was her name, folks. You can call her up and ask her. I think she's still a head public defender out there probably by now. What did she say? Stu, you're a holy man. I said, Lori, I'm no holy man. What's this phone call about? She says, I just wanted to tell you that. I've been praying for her salvation, praying for the prosecutor's salvation. They make it right. She calls me and says, oh, you're a holy man. I said, I'm no holy man. So God revealed that to me. I'm thinking, God revealed something to you. She says, I said, what's the reason for the call? She says, the charges are being dropped against you, Stu. She said, the prosecutor came to my office this morning in tears, crying. His son had been killed in a car crash last night. And that God revealed to him he's next if he doesn't drop the phony charges against Stu Webb. That's God's power. That's God Almighty. That's through prayer that happened, folks. I'm not proud they took two sons out, one of a judge and a prosecutor. I'm not proud of that. And I don't like to bring this even up, but it's reality. Prayer is so powerful. And if people would get in the prayer mode, Paul, like you've been, I've been, Joe is doing, and others, prayer warriors against the enemy, I believe we're going to see some results. But we got to really power up in prayer. Are you in agreement with me?
I am 100% agreement, and I think it's important for all of us. We need to hear your testament and your story because those are powerful revelations of God's working in our lives based directly on prayer. And what I do know personally, is all of us struggle with our faith and our understanding of Scripture because we are all very human. And we are in a spiritual war. What happens in the spiritual manifests in the physical and vice versa. And I think you've illustrated very succinctly and very powerfully that the intersection that we have between the physical and the spiritual is the power of prayer. Now, to be powerful prayer warriors, we also have to be living faithfully, fearlessly, and prayerfully. And it's really God working in our lives for us to be able to live that way and express ourselves that way. And so I know that even spirit-filled Christians, they are constantly battling forces that, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we come under spiritual attack because of what we're revealing today. Now, I you know, your personal life is your personal life, of course, but just recently, you know, like we talked over the weekend, and you're getting nailed with an EMP weapon. And, you know, that's obviously a physical attack, but you are a targeted individual. And why are you a targeted individual? Because you're bringing out truth. And one of the things that all of us have to accept and move forward with is we are in the end times, at the end of an age, and we have a role to play, and that role is to be powerful prayer warriors.
I'm in agreement. I think you said it well. Now, we've got election fraud, and we've got the mark of the beast coming, which is his chip inside his vaccination, the psychopath, Bill Gates and Fauci, and who, the World Health Organization, WHO.org, wants to put in everybody. And we don't have a... Folks, let's be real about the coronavirus. It's a form of the flu. On StuWeb.com, right there, Lysol kills coronavirus. The EPA put that out last week or 2 weeks ago. Lysol spray kills coronavirus in 3 to 5 seconds on surfaces. Tonic water has quinine in it. The same president, Trump, took a pill with quinine in it. Tonic water, Canadian Dry, any of them, tonic water. A nursing home here in Missouri, the doctor ordered all the patients for 50 days now have had a shot of tonic water every day. Tonic water and vitamin D. They're finding out vitamin D. I put up a thing, a doctor talking about it on my site. Vitamin D, is it a cure for coronavirus? They say if you're loaded up with vitamin D, you won't die. Most of the people who have this virus, this flu bug, whatever it is, that are dying in hospitals are lacking vitamin D, folks. So get vitamin D, tonic water, and the other things. We don't have, the numbers do not reflect some pandemic. It reflects a normal cycle for the year of the flu. Colds, flu, is what we're facing. Now, the numbers are out there, but yet they've turned this into a pandemic, and then they're saying masks takes 20% of your oxygen. Well, what are you doing? You walk around with a mask for 8 hours a day, you're working, you're losing 20% of your oxygen? What's that going to do to the human body? This whole thing is bizarre. I've been walking around with no mask on. Now, all of a sudden, Jackson County, Missouri, if you go into any place, you're required to have a mask on. I mean, this is bizarre. All this activity. And it's leading us to New World Order and the whole game. Now, Paul, am I right or wrong about some of this stuff?
I think you're expressing accurately what is going on, and the insanity of it all is to, I think, demoralize, destabilize anyone with common sense. We are just being bombarded with false information, and then they introduce additional disinformation, misinformation. Now, Fauci is a indicating that he thinks we ought to be wearing goggles, which tells me that they are into the mockery phase, and people are, for the most part, buying into the narrative that this COVID-19 is going to be the end of humanity if you don't wear a mask, or now wear a mask with goggles. And I think what's particularly interesting or applicable to what we're talking about. See, with the mask, it's not just that you're covering your face and not getting the oxygen you need, but you're also breathing and creating bacteria. And that mask, of course, you're planning your own stuff, so to speak. And you're not protecting yourself, and you're not building natural immunity. And this is all part of their greater plan to make us sicker. Now, the thing about a virus or influenza or something like this, I don't even think the science is settled. If you do a lot of research, influenza wasn't even identified until the 1890s. And the whole Fort Riley flu that many call the Spanish flu, if you do your research on that, you do get a component where there's vaccine, there's the electrical grid that was developing at the time, kind of like the railroads and the telegraph. You have these corona-type symptoms that are related to other phenomena, 4G, 5G, electrification. It's not, to me, settled what we're doing here, other than they're perpetuating a fraud on us. And the thing about plandemics or pandemics is, if it's really a terrible virus, it would kill you. And now we're being asked to be tested. We're testing for a condition that we don't have, and people are showing up for these tests. And it's just crazy why we would get tested for something we don't have. Now, there's always this story about somebody who's really struggling with pneumonia or some type of flu symptom. That is part of life and death in the cycle. But we are just being absolutely bombarded with false information. And you're one of the very few people that I'm hearing saying, hey, take care of your immune system. Vitamin D, vitamin C. And yet, instead of doing those things, which will work, we're being told we need to be vaccinated. And it's kind of tough for me to gauge anymore, because I've had five people in the last 2 months say, you know what, I've got truth trauma. You're telling too much truth. I need to take a step back. I want to go into my perceived reality. And I think what happens to all of us is we get bounced back into perceived reality instead of reality. And what I want to say to you, Stu, and of course, you know, in private, we talk this stuff, but I'm so thankful that you are still talking, you are still researching, you are still presenting the facts as accurately and as distinctly as we can. And the facts are, we have a new world order agenda that we're up against. And we have got to fight to the very end. And we've got to get the truth out. And I so appreciate that you're speaking the truth. And I, you know, welcome listener feedback. I know you get a lot of people that contact you, and I'm just so appreciative that you've allowed me to come on today. And back to Israel and China and Russia, geopolitically, we have a lot happening. We've got China in disarray. They've got the Three Gorges Dam. It may implode any time. China's water, 90% of it's polluted. One-third of China now is a desert. Their food supply is very compromised. You got 1.4 billion people. They have just been treated horribly by their government. They have been a beta test, much like Paraguay was a beta test for communism way back in the early 1600s or late 1500s. All of this is from a playbook. It's from a deep state playbook. And they pit one side against the other, or many sides against the other, and maybe conclude here with a guy named Dimitri Dudeman, who was a Romanian pastor. And I've listened and read his testimony, personal testimony, and then I've read his prophecy for America. And it goes back to that 70 years, a generation. And Jesus said a couple of things. He said, first, learn the parable of the fig tree. And that's the 70 years, or the 70 to 80 years of a generation. And then Jesus said, do not be deceived. And he said that a lot of times. And I think that most in America are very deceived, whether they're into the dark side and that spiritual realm. They tapped into that, which, by the way, almost everyone in the power structure has sold out to the dark side. And that's what we're in war against. And America is being judged. And we all better realize that China and Russia are part of global deep state. And they're positioning themselves right now. They're already here. And the takedown of America is going to coincide with the Middle East war. And that's Bible prophecy. And it all seems to be playing out right now.
I'm in agreement with you, 100%. Now, I remember Dimitri Duderman because I think it was 1995, I was supposed to do the tour in the Prophecy Club. Instead, I got anthraxed. I was laying in bed, I mean, sick as a dog for 90 days, anthrax in isolation, folks, in my own home, taking 90 days worth of doxycycline. Here's the point. Dimitri Duderman took my shot in the Prophecy Club, 12 city tour, whatever. You know, they sell your videos or books, etc., and they give you a certain percentage, and they pay you the airfare and the hotel expense and all that to go on the Prophecy Club. Now, this was a big kind of group back in the 90s. But Dimitri spoke during that period of time, and he laid out a prophecy that was very powerful. Now, I understood from somebody that they were in Indiana, I think it was, where they had the meeting. And Henry Groover, who's a pastor, minister out of Iowa, sat down with Dimitri Duderman because he had a vision about America. And their visions were almost identical according to the source that was at the table with them, except for one thing. Henry Groover said it would happen after he saw all these towers were erected across America. Towers. Some kind of phone towers or towers. He couldn't describe it. 5G? Cell phone towers? Now, we got the network of Sprint and T-Mobile now. T-Mobile's doing their 5G. They've almost got it completely installed. Why we've had coronavirus shutdown and all the schools closed, folks. They were putting 5G in the schools. What does 5G do to your body? I've had a nurse on, Amber. If you go to stuweb.com, go to the radio bar at the top, scroll down, look for Amber down towards the bottom of the page or three quarters of the way down of the shows this year. You will see she's in Bakersfield. Starts having two periods a month after they install 5G. Her body gets whacked out. She finds 100 other women in Bakersfield between the school, the grocery stores, having two periods a month. Bizarre. They buried the 5G off the tower in the street. Cut a trench, blacktopped over it. All of a sudden she goes back to a normal 28-day period cycle instead of two periods a month. Before it happened, before they buried that, her brain began to shrink. She was bleeding out of her ear in the same way they were showing videos of people over in China when the coronavirus supposedly broke out, etc. They had 5G cranked up over there. And they had people doing the same thing that she was doing. The brain was shrinking, etc. Now, on the local TV here, the news, I tried to grab the picture that wasn't there, but they reported a victim of coronavirus and showed an x-ray of the corpse. The brain had shrunk and the lungs had some kind of metal in it. The metal is coming from chemtrails. They are electrocuting us. They are controlling us with this 5G and cell towers, and people don't realize their bodies are being affected. Go to stuweb.com. There's plenty of videos up there talking about 5G 2, 3, 4 months ago. People need to understand this. We've got to put a stop to this. We got to unite together and put a stop to all this. You know, I'm calling for the arrest of politicians. All need to be arrested and replaced. We need a cleansing to ever put a stop to this. Now, I'm saying that because it's truth. We got to do something besides sitting around getting killed. What do you suggest people do, Paul? We're down to 55 minutes right now. What's that?
Okay, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, what do you suggest that people do besides prayer?
I think it begins with prayer because I think that's where God will give us direction for what we need to do. And I think at this point, it's Mark 16:15, and Jesus came to save, heal, and deliver. Now, that's also, I think, Matthew 28. It's you would know it as the Great Commission. And what we're supposed to do is spread the good news that the kingdom for us is our relationship with Jesus. And Jesus died for our sins and made us redeemable to our Creator God. Now, there are those in the audience, and understandably, they have different viewpoints, and you have, I think, given people concrete steps that they can take. What we're trying to do, and I think our audience is very informed to begin with, I think what we talk about is helpful because people need confirmation or they need additional information. And really what people need to do is mobilize. And the thing that I can say about used to is many times in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, sometimes I would get fatigued. And I would get fatigued because I would tell people, have you considered that 9/11 was an inside job, that it's all New World Order, part of a plan to bring down America? And ultimately what happens, of course, is people wave you off. Oh, that can't be true. No, somebody would have told me. And then I say, well, I just did. And what happens to all of us, I think, is we are in situations, whether it's within our family or within our friendship group or within our community, where we've just been discredited. And all you have to do is talk to people about some things going on in the world, and then they watch the nightly news, and all of a sudden they decide, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know what you're talking about. The reality is we need to surround ourselves with people with open minds, and we need to provide them with credible evidence, credible data. And I would say to anyone that's listening, if you don't agree or if you support what we're doing, go do some credible research. Of course, you can pass along this show, but what I've found is most people, they don't listen. They want to go to their perceived reality, and we got to get people in reality. And the concrete steps, of course, is to say, you know what, we're not going to watch that mainstream media news. We're going to lose the news. We are going to do a 180. When they tell us something like Black Lives Matter or LGBTQ, hey, I'm all for loving my neighbor, and sometimes it's hard to do, but that's what we're commanded to do. But we don't have to put up with criminal behavior, with corruption, with criminality everywhere. That's not loving your neighbor. That's standing up and saying, that doesn't work for me. That's your fantasy, not mine. And so now we've got these movements, BLM, LGBTQ. And the truth of the matter is the globalists don't really care about black lives. In fact, it's just the opposite. So I think what most of us have to do is just get really disciplined at going 180. If you get a story from the mainstream media that they're telling you one thing, you got to go 180 and say it's the opposite, which brings us back to Israel. So now you have Israel and Lebanon, of course, which they're 400, 500 miles apart, and you got this huge conflagration, this detonation, which I'm calling a suitcase nuke, but I don't have firm data on it. and things are happening. And yeah, 5G is certainly something we've got to resist on all accounts. And you know, one of the ways, of course, to resist 5G is not to be hooked to your cell phone, to be in more interpersonal communication with people. And what we've done is we started the dialogue, and we've really tried to keep it to the economy's already been collapsed. It's already gone. They're working on shipping us. We know that to be true. And that shipping us seems to be the market beast. But we've got something concurrently going on, which is we've got Russia and China all over, and they're exposing how criminal our government is, which is going to lead us all to conclude, of course, what we've all known. Washington, D.C. is the biggest criminal enterprise in the history of the modern world. And they're going to take down our government, the globalist deep state, and that's going to put us in a fighting each other about what we should do or who's right or who's wrong. But the whole D.C. deal, the United States is a corporation, and the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, the left and the right, it's a duopoly. I've used that horse track narrative a few times with people. And what I'm trying to get people to understand is the global deep state, or the Jesuit-controlled global deep state, is it's like a horse track. And that means they control the track. They control the horses. They control the jockeys. They control the veterinarians. They control the odds makers. They own the casino. So what they've done is they've set up compartments, silos. And you see all of these compartments and silos, everyone doing their individual criminal, corruptive tasks or missions, and yet no one can look over the cubicle and say, what are you doing over in your silo? And what we're doing here, and you ask me, you know, what should people be doing? Well, they have to understand, first and foremost, a way to think about reality versus the perceived reality that, oh, we can have our best lives now. This is not a time for your best life now. Stu, in the 80s, your world, you started off the earlier talking about you would have never believed who you married and what that led to. And, you know, you have been, I think, a primary source in 6 books, 15 times. I mean, here's the numbers are just amazing. How frequently you were cited as a source for this criminality and corruption. But you've got a bunch of people, and they may be DHS, or they may be Chinese spies. They're all doing their individual task in a silo, and they don't know what the next person in the next silo is doing. And that's why concurrently we've got so many fire drills going off, and people are trying to make sense of complexity, because it's amazingly complex. And what we're trying to do is reduce it to a thinking about the problems that we're facing. And we are offering a solution to Jesus, but for those who are not believers, we're also saying, hey, you have got to recognize that this plan that they're executing has been 6,000 years in the making. And it's accelerated with technology recently, and we have got to get more people on board and better informed. And I know I gave people a lot of information there, but just to break it down, there is reality, and our reality is we're in big trouble because we've got people that are saying you need to get chipped, and we'll give you universal basic income, and then simultaneously, concurrently, we've got a foreign invasion. Foreign troops are already here. They're at the border. We are in some serious trouble right now.
We are in some serious trouble. And of course, you know, if you were to look at Dimitri Dudeman and Henry Gruber's prophecies, we got nuked. They saw bombs going off America. They saw an invasion by Russia and China. And until we fought them, and then eventually they pulled back. After what? People came back to Jesus. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. I look at people's prophecies. There's so many fake prophets out here and everything else, and they have dreams or visions or whatever. Some of them are real, I believe. Many of them aren't. because there's a lot of fakes out here. But I see a lot of things coming down in a pattern that fits with the Bible and with some of these prophecies, and we've got to put a stop to it, folks. Bottom line, we have to stop it. We are the people that are going to stop it if it's going to get stopped. Now, Paul, we're getting up here in a little past an hour, and I ask you to conclude it with what you think that people that maybe we haven't covered, some subjects we haven't covered. Where do you want to go with this?
I regret that I am going to be double parked in less than 20 minutes, and I've got some travel involved. And I think we really put a pretty good roadmap out for people to consider. And I want to compliment you, Stu. You have a very agile mind, and you got some great listening and analysis and interpretation and synthesis skills, because almost everything I said today, you picked up on and expanded on, or you're right there with me. And so I guess I'm going to throw it back to the listeners and say, hey, we've given you our understanding of things. Certainly take everything we are saying to the Lord in prayer, but also beyond our faith in Jesus, if you're not on board with that, then certainly do your own research, and I think you're going to conclude like us that we are up against an archonic control, the dark side, the B'nai Elohim, the fallen ones, and we have to fight them in the spiritual and the physical. And with that, I guess, Duke, you want to close in prayer, and then I'll also say a few things?
Yeah. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, you, Father, and I ask, Father, that this program reach a lot of people, and people have an understanding of who you are. Father, I ask for warning angels against those in Washington, D.C., and the enemy, Father. I ask you to send these warning angels in, Father, and destroy these people, destroy the enemy. And I ask it in your holy name, Father, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Clean Washington, D.C. out. Wake the people up, Father. Unleash the Holy Spirit upon this planet. Make those Christians rise up, Father. Make them rise. Put no fear in them, Father. Take the fear out of them. I ask it in your holy name, in the name of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, Father. I ask for your will to be done. I ask it in your holy name. Amen.
I am in agreement, Stu. Thank you for you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this opportunity to present the truth to our listeners and to anyone who will hear this subsequently. We ask for your wisdom and your power and for your protection. And we know that many who are listening have health issues or financial issues, and we ask that, Father, that you provide them with solutions or support, and that you lead our listeners to the truth. And that truth is that you sent Jesus to die for our sins, and through his blood we are redeemed. In Jesus' name, we ask that all powers of darkness be subject to the authority of the believers' prayers and to the Holy Spirit within them, and by the blood of Jesus, that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, Christ died for me. I'll die for him. With that said, I want to thank you, Paul, for coming on with me. It's my honor to have you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Have a good day, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you, folks.